welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
And its effects. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5. Are we there now? 1 Corinthians 5 from verse 1.
1 Corinthians 5 verse 1.
Yes.
It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife.
Okay. My emphasis is not the latter part, okay, which is a peculiar case of what happened at the church in Corinth. But when I was asking God about it, when he was insisting that we need to talk about it, because it's a very, very common thing in churches and among choir groups, fellowships and all that. And when I asked for a word, I mean, I could have gone to very clear scriptures like 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 to 4. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that each one should know how to bear his own vessel in sanctification and in honor. Verse 5, not in evil concupiscence and the lust of the Gentiles, which knew not God. But surprisingly, the Lord led me to this chapter. And more shockingly, I found out that that was what the whole chapter was dealing with. So maybe a long session. Okay? Because I want to dive in. It is reported commonly, that's how my King James Bible put it, that there is fornication amongst you. It is reported how? The word fornication is not just when two unmarried people sleep together. No. It's actually an umbrella word. Okay? That takes in every form of sexual immorality. The Greek word for it is porneia, from which we get pornography. Do you understand? And immorality. Okay? So it's like an umbrella word that brings in every form, every kind of sexual sin. We will define what sexual immorality is, because we've not yet defined it. We will define it. But this thing that God said is common amongst us as a church, and I mean the body of Christ, and particularly in the choir, because there's no organized group of people in the church, okay, that sexual immorality is normal amongst, like a choir. And that's what makes it very dangerous. There's no group in church that is most susceptible to sexual sins like the choir. Do you get the idea now? But originally, what did the Bible say about sexual immorality among saints, Ephesians? I'll just look at that quickly, then we'll come back to this place in 1 Corinthians 5. Because that's the chapter that we are studying on today. Ephesians. Thank you, Ephesians 5 verse 3. Are we there? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as becometh saints. Amen. So, something that should not even be mentioned at all, not even once, when it becomes common, is that not a problem? Amen? Somebody was telling me yesterday, when he got a hint that this is what I'll talk about this morning, the person was saying, please take all the time to be able to explain this thing. Because whatever it is that is ministered, even for those who are not here, it will be of a great help. And he went on and said, I know so many gifted people who lead very big churches. But this is the point. When they sing, you think everyone wants to come down. But this is the matter. In dealing with sexual sins, one of the things the Lord taught me when I was dealing with, because there's no young man that won't deal with it. I've not met a young man that does not like women. Do you understand? In dealing with it, what the Lord told me was, as you study the book of Proverbs, especially the ones that deals with sexual sin, chapter 2, chapter 4, 5, 6, 7. And in one of them, in chapter 2, was talking about when you go in to an immoral woman, you know, your future was prophesied. How you are simply going to your death. And that once you have gone there, you cannot come back. So, I knew that that I must not cross. In fact, one translation that I used, I think a translation for translators, said, let her not catch you by her eyelids. That's the original King James. But it translated it somehow in a very interesting way. You know what he said? He said, for a woman speaks with more than words. Don't let her eyelids talk to you. In the Old Testament and in the New, there's only one recommendation made for sexual sin. Flee. Strong men, they flee. Fools, stay. And say they can handle it. And then it will handle them. Amen. Is it not there that flee sexual lust? Is it not in the Bible? Is that not New Testament? For every sin that a person does, it's outside of his body. But sexual sin is special. Because it's not just a sin against God, it's also a sin against your body. The sacredness and the privacy of your body is lost. There is no group in church that is as susceptible as sexual sin as the choir. There's none other. Others may be famous for stealing money, you know, famous for one thing, one vice or the other. But when it comes to the choir, and that's why one of the major problems that makes this to be so is that the choir is not ministered to. You know, I kept saying it. Nobody preaches to the choir. The choir is part of Sunday worship. They are part of people who minister on Sunday. And they really don't have the time, particularly on Sunday, to listen to any message. And so year in, year out, they are treated as ministers. Even when they are just immature. Issues like this are not confronted. You know, head on. Not confronted. We use religious language like this well. God will help us. The Lord is good. And what he's telling you, I want you to just shout for joy this morning. That's how the other thing has become acting. Choir members are not really joyful. They are only happy when maybe the song they are singing is quite popular and they enjoy the song. Okay? So when they tell the church, shout, shout for joy, act in a good way. You know, because they are not in that state where they could help anybody. It is commonly reported that there's what? Oh, sexual immorality amongst you. Yet, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named amongst you as you become a saint. And I ask you, when what should not be mentioned even once becomes common, you know there's a crisis. Somebody was brought to me, this was over 6 years ago. He was one of, you know, those lead music people, like maybe music director or something, in one of the very big churches in Lagos. You know? And why was he brought to me? He has not been able to sleep in the last 2 years. Why hasn't he been able to sleep in the last 2 years? All manner of monsters rape him per night in the last 2 years. You know? What happened? He cannot remember the number of women he has slept with. Huh? So a time came after I was addicted to sleeping with them, and I'm talking church members, choir members and all that. And this guy is the one that stands on the altar on Sunday ministering. So after that thing has become an addiction for him and all that, a point came in his life that he slept with more than human being. Amen. And so every night, those ones, they come to visit him. And they come in their monstrous forms. Hasn't been able to sleep at night in the last 2 years. He sleeps only in the afternoon. When you are not a bat. The Lord asked me to ask him questions that he reserves for such people. What's the question? Are you tired? Or you want to continue? He said he's tired. No, as I has gone to hospitals, doctors have given him drugs, Valium 5. Is it Valium? I don't know what they call it, Valium something. Will become wake up 5. You know? No matter the sedation he uses, they will still come to rape him. So he dreads night. So I told him, this night you will sleep. Amen. But the issue is, are you ready to leave this thing? That's the issue. Said all manner, how they will travel from Lagos, take a flight to Calabar, Uyo, all of those places, they will take to Abuja, where nobody knows them. You know, he and two other choir directors from another two ministries, very big ministries in Lagos that I will not mention their name. They will arrange women for them every weekend. So, since you have not been able to sleep for 2 years, what did your pastor say? Couldn't you tell your pastor, Pastor, I need deliverance? You know what shocked me? The pastors did not even notice. Jesus was shown to him. He was cleansed from whatever the issues were. And he was told to go home and sleep. Of course he went to him and slept. Because Jesus will not be powerless. Is it not so? He gives his beloved what? And after I went home and he slept, when he woke up the following morning, called me on the phone. Ah, glory to God, I slept. I slept till I thank God. Now I've decided to go into 5 days fasting. I said, what for? What you need to do is come. So that we keep doing Bible study together until you are free from this thing. He said he understands me, but now, you know, he doesn't really have time. You know why people are not discipled? I I did everything, begged him. You are healed. But if you do not return to the Lord, you will not be whole. When Jesus healed those blind people, what did he tell them? When one returned, he told him, he said, now, you are what? You are whole. To be healed and to be whole are not the same thing. To be healed is that the thing is not doing you again. To be whole is that it's not just that it's not doing you again, at that particular moment or day, but it will never arise again. That's the meaning. We never had a Bible study together. The last I heard of him, the lady that brought him, he wanted to rape her. And he has sunk into the sea of humanity. I can't even remember his name again. So, what I'm talking about is so powerful that it can overpower a person. In all my years in ministry, I've been privileged of God to help very weak people, particularly women. You understand? And what I've found is that I've been helped by God to be faithful. It is not because I don't like women. Amen? I mean, women are attractive. Because you are married doesn't mean that women will not stop being attractive. No, they will still be attractive. You just have to learn how to deal with your issues, so that your issues will not deal with you. What I kept finding out is that the more you are able to holily help women, God will commit more broken women to your hand. Help me. That's what I found out. Praise the Lord. Woe betide you, that you touch them. Between David and Bathsheba, who was punished? It was as if Bathsheba did not off clothes when David says she off clothes. Was it not so? If she had any punishment at all, it was that child died. That's the only thing. What about David? How many children did he lose? What about his kingdom? What about the dishonor? What about the regret, the disappointment that people felt towards him? Everybody can be forgiven when they fall, particularly into sexual sin, not the minister. What did I tell you? And what did I tell you about music people? What are they? And the more powerful the grace of God upon your life, the more the disappointment in the eyes of the people when you fall away. So when you come back again, you are holy, holy. And they see as the grace of God is just booming. If only he didn't do it. You see, God will forgive you. Your brethren won't. Amen. As I told you, there are lines you don't cross. Not anything. God forbid, if you respect a man or a woman so much, so that you want to pattern your life in following Christ as they follow Christ, the day you hear they sleep with somebody, even when you love them so much and try to excuse it and all, but very quietly, there will be that thing inside you. They shouldn't have done this now. That's why ministry is not for the faint-hearted. I was telling you yesterday when we were going home, I told you, when you begin to excuse a minister's fault, there's something wrong. The very first qualification for Christian leadership is that it must be blameless. There are no two ways around it. And I said that is blameless doesn't mean he doesn't have weaknesses. But those weaknesses, he has so much exposed them to God so that grace has covered them. You will think he's perfect, but he's the one that knows he's not perfect and he's not pretending. Verse 2 says, and ye are puffed up. We are reading 1 Corinthians 5. We just read verse 1 and explained verse 1. We're in verse 2 now. And have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from amongst you. I want you to imagine it. If we have to remove people that are guilty of sexual sin in the choirs in Lagos, how many people remain in the choir? Huh? And if you're a person, how are we going to know? It's because you're not close to God. If your choir group or ministry is based upon the truth, information that you're not looking for will be revealed to you. It's as simple as that. You will know. Sin cannot thrive side by side with holiness. It's not possible. Whatever that makes manifest is the light. So you can't hold on to God's word in truth and lead people in truth, okay? And then what is true will now be hidden. No, to be exposed. And I say, even about sexual sin, two ways of dealing with people. If a person who has stumbled, you know, stumbling is not a fall. Stumble means that, you know, he made a mistake and is inside this thing. And then he scrambles out. Huh? If a person stumbles into sin, the first thing he's looking for is to be restored. Do you get the idea now? He goes to those who lead him and he confesses his sin. And we are commanded by God when such things are done to shield the person. Do you understand? That's what we are commanded to do by God. From God. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. But the one that we caught, that is caught, that means the one that has fallen, and like a pig, is just rolling there in the mud, he must be exposed before the people. Before the entire congregation, he must be exposed. He will be dealt with, and then he will be disciplined. The very first thing to do is whatever spiritual thing he's doing, he must be stripped, and he must be stripped publicly. Let's say it's choir leader or something. He goes back to the congregation. He's no longer a part of the choir. He's not a part of any ministering group. And if he wants to hear, he must keep coming. I have seen people falling into sexual sins and they never returned again. And they never what? Put me anywhere. They may run to another ministry and they anoint them. But there are no two heavens. Amen? There are no what? And there are no two headquarters. It's only one headquarter. You can't sin somewhere and be restored somewhere else. Amen? You can't. When that happened to somebody very close to me, and I was weeping with him, and I told him, you see, when you stay, you will see the wound of sin. And because you've been wounded before, you will not be boastful about sin. And because you knew what you went through to be restored, when you see sin, you will flee. The next I saw from a person was a letter. He has run away. Like I told somebody else again, who was involved in sexual sins. I said, since I knew you, you have faced four panels about sexual immorality. I sat on three. Are you getting me? And this happened in three different ministries. Because I wasn't close to the third ministry, I couldn't sit on that panel. I said, even if another minister is shielding you, you think your problems have left you. It takes somebody who had faced the same temptations, okay, and had survived to help you out. But that you won't face it, go and think again, no. And neither should you think it is limited to just men. No, it's not. It is both sexes. And that's what the Bible says. The first thing the church must do, or the whether choir group or whatever group the person belongs to, is to mourn. Is to what? And the next thing to do is to expel the person from that group. Especially if it's not that the person stumbled into it and is looking for a way out. If it's that he's secretly living like that, expel him. Because if you don't expel him, what did God tell Joshua? In Joshua chapter 7. Israel had sinned. Who was the person that sinned? Achan. But a little leaven leavened the whole lump. And we are still coming to that verse in this same passage that we are reading. Just a little sin is enough to pollute the entire church. If there's a tank of water, a giant tank of water, like all those reservoir tanks, okay? And then you drop a spoonful content of excreta inside. What happened to the whole water? But do you know that, sincerely, that one spoonful of water, excreta, cannot go around very quickly. Is it not so? But the day follows the night, what will happen? It will spread. And it will contaminate the entire tank. Even though it's just one spoonful. What do you say about the entire tank of water? You say it's defiled, it is polluted, it's contaminated. We have to flush the whole thing out. Because we can't drink it anymore. Some may even be taking their bath just with it. They remember, this is poopoo water. You cannot achieve true worship when there's sexual immorality amongst you. Before we go on, I want to define what sexual sin is. And then I want us to touch some parts. Why it is that horrible? Why is that terrible? Let us just touch some parts. Sexual immorality is every form of premarital, extramarital, unlawful, and unnatural sexual desire, behavior, and act. Sexual immorality is every form of premarital, extramarital, unlawful, and unnatural sexual desire, sexual behavior, and sexual act. I hope you know, but the word behavior simply means habit. Act is just something that happens once, an act, okay? But behavior is what is done constantly. There's no other type of sin so rampant in its spread. There's no other types of sin that is so rampant in its spread. So contagious an infection. And so absolute in ruining or damning its victims. Like sexual immorality. Amen. So, when we say sexual immorality, first of all, the word fornication is, in the Greek, is a plural word. Do you understand? So what we should have said ideally is fornications. You understand? That's what we should have said. Okay? Because there's no one form of immorality. There are different species and different types and we must be free from all of them. You know what is scary? On the day King David, the warrior, General David, got to the tabernacle and was hungry with men and was asking the priests to please give him some food, the priest told him that there's no common bread here. That means we don't currently have, you know, what any and everybody can eat. But we have hallowed bread. We have what? If the young men have been at least kept from women, the least level of consecration is that a man is free from sexual immorality. That is what? The least level. That's the smallest. Like, you are coming to consecration school now, the kindergarten, is that you are free from sexual immorality. So, David told him, of course, I and my young men are sanctified. We have not touched any woman. David will say, we have not. Yet, the same David eventually married more than 10 women. Huh? But at that point in his life, there was nothing like that. And so, the food of priests were given to common men. They ate it and God did not kill them. Do you understand? Even that is another message on its own. Because bread is also means the word of God, revelations from God and all that. There are heights you cannot pierce into if you are not sanctified, if you are not kept free and holy. Amen. Like I said yesterday, that if we are looking at the cause, particularly in the choir, of sexual immorality or in churches, I said I was going to bring something from yesterday's teaching. I mentioned that when the call of God meets with talents and refined skill, when the person stands to minister, what you simply see is that it's just like that thing that we described in Ezekiel 28. You will see the perfection of beauty. You see fullness of wisdom. And you see one who seals all up the sum of perfection. You see somebody who is covered as with precious stones in a setting of gold. So, normally and not and naturally, the person will look how? Very attractive. Do you get the idea now? Very, very attractive. But this person has a gift that God has given him or her. Maybe a beautiful voice. And then went to a school where it was sharpened until it was sharpened and become like razor. And then the calling of God, which is the anointing, okay, back him again. Ah! When you see such a person, they will not look ordinary. And it's not just about music, even for word ministration and all that, it's the same thing. So, it's normal that you will have so much charisma. And it is God that put that thing there. Because if people do not accept your person, they can't accept your message. Do you understand? That's why God puts that thing there, so that it attracts people. But the idea is that you, the bearer, will not misuse that power. Is that you're only bearing that power, okay, on behalf of God to lead people. So when they look at you, you will keep, in everything that you do and how you live your life, you keep pointing them upwards. So even though they came through you, they'll be able to go through you safely in order to reach God. But most of the time, because many, many, many people are not discipled. First of all, he might not even understand why those things are happening to him. I don't even understand doing it. All these girls, they just keep coming every time I minister. So when they keep coming, so what? And then he begins to look. This one is fine. This one is fine. This one is fine. See that one? Oh my God. Those two at the back, they are fine. Which one will it be now? Mini, mini, money, more. Father has a donkey. Father has a donkey. Mini, mini, money, more. Maybe he has picked one. This one is just tall and slim. That's fine shape, but that one that's yellow, what will she be like? And the moment he begins to sleep with them, and it is so easy. Eh? It is so what? Because what the people will keep seeing are those graces. Do you understand? There's something that is called residue of glory. What did I say? That is what God has put on you. His glory, His presence that has rubbed around you. God doesn't put His glory permanently. God's presence can only be present. God's presence cannot be in the past or in the future. It can only be what? So as long as you live rightly and follow Him, He will always be with you. The issue of what He did for you last year, that was when. What is God doing today? That's the matter. You understand? So when he begins to mess up himself and, you know, useless himself, God withdraws from him. Now, all that will remain is a residue. Do you get the idea now? And that may last for another 10 years. What did I tell you? That may last for how long? Please put on this fan. Who attends this church? Put on this fan. It's not because I'm feeling hot. I'm actually feeling hot. This one you put on for me. I just want to show something. Put it on. This one. Did it not look as if this fan was dead? And suddenly something came into it. I think power, Abby. And then it begins to grow. After a while now, all of you begin to feel its impact. Eh? But that impact is only there for as long as power has unhindered access, do you understand, into this fan. Can you feel it now? Huh? So all of us, did you see that ministration today? Brother Ben was wonderful. Hey, thank God, though. God used him. But when Brother Ben begins to misbehave, put off the fan. Everything that made him special is withdrawn. But you can still see, they put it off, he's still rolling. And that can last another 10 years, depending on how much he gathered while he worked with God. How deeply he has gone while he worked with God. The only person that could know, even when he's still rolling, are people who are still working with God, that will know he's not with God again. So the rest of the congregation, everybody's like, oh, wow. Except that the thing is reducing. Because it's residue. Do you get the idea now? So maybe by year 8, like this. By year 9, it's lower again. Some people under 1 year, they would have finished their own. Depending on how deeply the person has dug into God. It's still ministry, it's still in ministry. I mentioned some names to you yesterday. There's not one amongst the people I mentioned to you that were not involved in sexual immorality. Go to minister, they lodge them in hotels and all that. Girls will just flock around them there. I told you from Proverbs 2. Those who go into them, they don't return. They don't return. Once you go in there, that's where you die. It's not as weak as women look and all that, they are so dangerous. And it's not even just maybe them or maybe they have evil spirits. No. See, I'm not even talking about evil spirits. Are you guys? I'm not talking about evil spirits. I'm just talking about the way God has made it. So you go to a minister somewhere, great things happen. Because the song minister never needs a minister. So when what you have sung and all of that has blessed people, and they come near because they need help. He'll start shaking. He'll start sweating. Because a woman is around him. And then, there's nobody that is loose when it comes to ministerial ethics and discipline like choir people. Hug is for free. Is it not so? Hello! Bless you, bless you. It's for free. And you know, when you hug a woman, nothing happens to you, Abby. Me, something happens to me. So, when I was growing up as a young Christian, whenever you want to greet me, even if you're a sister, one day in our fellowship, remember, I don't know whether you were there that day or day, the sister was like, ah, Brother Abraham, the Lord bless you. She was like this. So it was outside. I said, the Lord bless you. I had walls and walls and walls around me because I knew I was not strong. Do you understand? I said, no. Is it not? I can handle it. I can handle it. And since I can't handle it, I don't want it to handle me. Handle it. And so I said, I thank God. At least in my ministrations and all that, I have not experienced this thing Brother Abraham is talking about. I may never experience it. So wait until grace breaks forth over your life. There's something. If you can't walk with God and His glory will not smear you. Do you understand? And glory, what is glory? It is the splendor, majesty, dignity, sanctity, and royalty of divinity. So, if that is around you, when you are walking, there's a way you walk. It's normal though. People will see you. Don't see that it's normal. You are just living your life. Even if you are drinking garri, you look like you are taking a 4-course meal per meal. Why? The glory of God. The glory of God. But the problem is that because the singer, they call themselves singers, don't know or does not know he is a minister, he is a priest, or she is a priestess. Because it started, you just went to minister somewhere, it was a powerful song and all that. And when you finish, somebody says, sister, please, can I see you? I need you to help me with this. And you're about going. He said, no, it doesn't matter that he can drop you. And the car was a Range Rover Sport. You know, suddenly all the spirituality, they are calling me now. And then, you know, women know that if a man likes you, you will know. Men, it's so difficult for them to hide it when they like a woman. You know? And it's all just, it's trying to open the door, the other thing is just awkward. As he tried to open the door, the thing pinned him in his hand. You know, he's still telling you sorry. By the time you get home, let us say you pray for him. The first place you will go may not be your prayer room. It may be before the mirror. And before you know it, the person who should be helped we help you. Do you get the idea? The person who should be what? Will not be the one to help you. The person that you should pull up will not pull you down. And when God is dishing out punishment, he won't punish the other person. He won't. I've always learned that to fall into sexual sin, it doesn't happen at once. Does it happen at once? No. You will have relaxed a lot of consecrations before you get to that point. A lot. Not few, a lot. premarital, extramarital, unlawful, and unnatural sexual, first of all, desire. So if I'm still using the same story of the Range Rover sportsman, even when she already has a fiancé, let's assume she's not yet married. Eh? Whenever the man now calls her, Sister Grace. I don't want to use Grace's name. Grace is here. Let me find somebody's one name that is not Sister Jane. I hope you are not Jane. Okay. Sister Jane. The way her face will just change as if she has seen Santa Claus. So, bless you, brother. How are you? Have you been doing that Bible I told you? He said, yes, it's actually wonderful. It's wonderful. Because her desires are already mixed up. She can't see all the danger signs. She won't. Then, if the devil wants to really deal with her, the brother will be the exact type of man she likes. When that happened to me, when I had to be counseling somebody that is the exact type of woman I liked. Because I had known the type of woman I like, and I told myself before that time that don't deceive yourself, oh, tell yourself always the truth. I used to call myself my Kiloman Pao Yoruba name. Is it Oriki? Eh? Oruku Abiso. I called myself that one. Not Abraham. Abraham is too tush, you know? I know that your parents or grandparents will never call you that except they want to tell you something serious. But I tell myself, Akoni. Jigget. You are obedient to me for you. So when you see it, danger. And then when we were growing up, we had brothers around us. One of the days, the Lord told me that I should tell them more, that we should discuss our weakness about women. So everybody started mentioning all manner. Your husband was in that meeting. You see what he mentioned? It was so ridiculous. And all of us stopped. And we said, okay, so that we can protect each other. So when slim and shapely lady comes and we know where Ogun is here. Even when you are saying, I'm going to do counseling. We say, we say no. you are not doing counseling. Somebody else should go and counsel her. So somebody who does have an issue for will be the one to counsel her. When one leadership meeting once, you know, Shagun was in that meeting. The other brothers are no longer with us. And a lady came in, very stunning. We are on a short break, you understand? So she could come, came to see one of us. And then, as I found out, most of the brothers were just roaming about that place. So when I accosted one, what are you doing here? He said, I didn't know when his legs carried me. It was after that meeting that I had to tell them, oh yeah, start talking one by one. My problem is, you know? So she won't know. She'll be on her bed instead of meditating. She'll be fantasizing. What will it be like if he just brings me a rose and he kneels down? And she's like, ooh, goosebumps everywhere. Instead of having to talk to somebody, you know, most of your friendships, especially in these days, they are not edifying friendships. The kind of friendship that lifts you up. Most of it is just
It's just the same natural friendship. The lady that she tells that I think I'm falling for this guy. I say, let's go and visit him. Let me just size him up in the spirit. You don't need to see somebody to size the person up in the spirit. Amen. Maybe you have God. And who made the person? It's just simply ask him about that person. That's all. I don't even need to know your name. Not that one that ministers do and they say, bring the person's name, and the middle name, and the mother, and the maiden name, and then the surname. There's no need. God made everyone. God knows everyone. When they are, she may even fall in love more. The person that wanted to help you. These two sisters may even be fighting themselves over this man that has not proposed to any of them. That may be 2 weeks born again. The kind of friendships, you see, because there's a lot of things that if you don't put them around you, guidelines, okay, around you, you would have fallen, then you'd be wondering, when did you fall? You won't know. You would have fallen since. And that's why I said, I don't keep friends who cannot help me. And before I can call you my friend, you can be my son, and daughter. But before you can be my friend, but my friend is someone that can influence me. So I don't give so many people that privilege. Once when we were teenagers in YDI, and I had a crush on one of the sisters who was also my friend. She was also in drama group. You know, me and my wife were in drama group at the time too. So even though she was very close to me, I didn't tell her that one. So I went to my friends and I told them, if I see Tina next week, I'm going to fall. And then they said to me, you are a man of God. You're going somewhere to happen. I said, yes! 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 So when I saw Tina next week, hey, Abraham, how are you? What's up? I said, the Lord bless you. How are you? I'm sure Tina now, and I tell her that, do you know I had a crush on you when we were 19? I'm sure she will laugh. Her desires would have been wrapped around the whole thing. Before you know it, he's the only one she wants to do Bible study with. When he sees another woman with him, she just changes. Until now, she's just my sister. And then she changes back again. So, I didn't know. No. Are you getting it? It begins with a desire. It begins with a desire. That can go on for months until she's drunk, then to stupor. At that level, nobody can tell her anything again that she will hear. Because she's what? She's drunk. Then brother becomes baby. Tell a brother sometimes, baby. And see, because attraction works both ways, does it not? And may your attractions, especially if you are not married, and if you are married also, I'll still pray the same prayer for you. May your attractions not wholly physical, and may it begin physically. Because physical attractions end where? It ends with physical contact. After a while, though, the person will get tired of you. And as they keep seeing like that, it will keep building up. To the first hug. The first holding on of hands together. First holding by the waist. To go to the first kiss. The first sexual sin. It will continue. she's still coming to choir rehearsal. Eh? She's fighting it whether it is sinful. Why? Her desires were already wrapped up in the whole thing. So, she'll be justifying it on one side and crying or condemning it on another side. And at that level, she's no longer talking to anybody else. And sin thrives in secrecy. She could still be ministering. After 4 years, she could still be ministering. And those things have remained the same. Until the first time she misses her period. And then she suddenly remembers that she's choir leader in church. Eh? Maybe the man even says he's not yet ready to marry. Because sexual sin is involved. And there has been transparency of spirits. There's been what? Even when she knows she's been unfairly treated, she may still say, okay, I will continue with you. Even when the man now says, okay, take this money, go and abort it. She will still love him. Of course, I'm not talking about the love of God. Do you understand? And all this while she's ministering. And all this while, because nobody caters for and watches over the soul of her members, nobody may notice. Pastor expects the choir to be always strong and powerful. Can you remember the last choir retreat that you had in your church? Has there been a fit? Not talk of the last. You understand? Or maybe eventually, maybe the abortion backfired, or one thing or the other happened, then the whole thing came out. Instead of the whole church to mourn, that's the verse that we have to verse 2, they may even hide it. The circumstance surrounding it might not even warrant her being disciplined openly, but she must be disciplined even privately. Or they are more interested in covering themselves and their reputation at the expense of her soul. I've often said it. You cannot see people as souls and treat them as members. And you can't see people treat them as souls. Sexual act. Sexual behavior. The change, the mourn. Those things happen. Verse 3 says, for I verily has been absent in body, but present in spirit. As have judged, though I were present, concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of Jesus Christ, with you, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, that kind of discipline is only applicable if what has been happening to the person is sexual behavior. It's a lifestyle. Somebody slept with, he was choir leader, slept with an impregnated at least 3 members of the church. That was when the pastor now stood up to do something. How many lives has he destroyed? I didn't say that the 3 were the only ones he slept with. I didn't know the number he slept with. But the number he impregnated were 3. Wizkid too has 3 baby mama. What's the difference between that song minister with Wizkid? Of course, he has lived by this one. And he was everywhere before everybody knew him. Must know how to possess your body in sanctification and in honor. not in the lust of the Gentiles who knew not God. Do you know, I talk to myself a lot, and I advise you that you should be doing it. At a stretch, I could see more attractive women, and they don't know themselves, they are just coming from different places. So I ask myself, how many do you want? If you take all this one, as you are standing up, you see a fifth one that is attractive. Do you want to die? You understand? Or sometimes I could be very blunt and tell myself, what is special about her or about them? Do they have 3 breasts? Do they? That would be an alien, isn't it also? It is the same too. How many does your wife have? It's the same too. It's a bonbon more than what is there. It's not us. So what is your problem? To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cast him out. Discipline him, and he must remain in the church. This is what happens when people who live in sexual sins are not disciplined. Those people will force God out of the church. What will they do? And every time they are ministering, what they are actually giving to the church are familiar spirits. In ministration, is there no transference of spirit? Eh? Jesus was preaching the word one day, and the power of God was present to him. Is it not so? So if the power of God is not present, where will be present? Eh? Other part now. And the devil needs that kind of church to continue being like that, so that he can keep sending people there. They will think they are saved, even when they are not saved. Get the idea now. Every time they sing. The one that will back his own. People will live with all manner of evil spirits. Why? Because the right thing was not done. There are churches, there are choir groups that are dead. Somebody served in one where they are experts at resisting the Holy Spirit. Not anything. And when you get to such places, what are we commanded? Take your shoe or sandal. Give them. Where they are experts at resisting the Holy Spirit, they will fight him to make sure no change occurs. Is anybody safe in such a place? Where those who are ministers are demonized? Abi, you have forgotten that I said there's no type of sin that is as dangerous as sexual sin. Why? There's always transference of spirits when people sleep with people. You understand? But when you hear very bizarre, you know, things like one man has slept with 3 women, what it simply means is that he's divided into how many parts? The man is divided into 3. And the 3 women too are in him. That's why one of the things you must note about sexual sin is this. There's constant confusion. Even about self-identity in people who get involved with those kind of thoughts. Because there's so much pressure. Maybe you're not a thief before. There's just suddenly a desire to just pick something that's not your own and feel cool that they didn't notice. Plenty. Because of you do shoplifting. And she has brought you the twin brother of the spirit inside her. An impure choir cannot achieve true worship. What did I say? Does it need to be pure first? Can't. Choir members have boyfriends. I didn't say fiancé. The word boyfriend is a strange word to Christianity. We don't test it. We don't test whether it will work. What we have is betrothal. Okay? That is, you have betrothed a person that you want to marry. And everybody will know, okay, you are involved with this person. Choir members, double dating, triple dating. Dating is not a Christian term. It's a worldly term. It's an American and European term. Testing, dating is testing before I buy. What is dating? But what about the one that I've eaten? Can I pay back? He's like, maybe I want to buy Gary now. I'm like, is your Gary sour? I say, it's sour. Or Gary. Can you give me a testing? Give me a testing. Then you've taken, you tasted it. It's not sour enough. Then you go. That's what dating is like. Do you get the idea now? And the person that pays more, is it the male or the female? Eh? It's the female. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Who has Amplified Bible for that verse? Who has a New Amplified Bible for that verse 6? Body.
You are boasting over the supposed spirituality of your church. Is not good.
Yes. But that's it, no?
You are boasting over the supposed spirituality of your church. Is not good. Indeed, it is vulgar and inappropriate.
Verse 7. Verse 7, yes. Okay, sorry, go on. You are not done now.
Do you not know that just a little leaven ferments the old batch of dough? Just as a little sin corrupts a person or an entire church.
NLT First Edition, 1996. Just a little sin. And what happens though? The entire group is corrupt. Because there was something I said, I think you didn't write it here, about sexual sin. I said, there is no sin that is so rampant in its print. Do you understand? The person who had been involved in sexual sin, even when he doesn't want to, will not know when he begins to spread it. Because sex would have been cheapened before that person. Do you know this generation doesn't see sex as anything? Nothing. I had a statement once. The person said, anybody can have sex now. But kissing is for lovers. Because, you know, I was confused. I'm confused. But it's to show you the, you know, how devalued sex has become. And we live in a very dangerous generation. A generation that doesn't see sex as anything. So demon possession will also not be anything. When they want to describe themselves, they will say that they are sexy. And that's what they use to define their whole life. Sexual orientation has now become a religion. Are you gay or you are bisexual? My orientation is, you know, people can be whatever they want to be. No, people can't be whatever they want to be. In the beginning, he made them male and female. He made them male and male. Male and female. He made them male and female. It could get so horrible that people have now become bisexual. Unnatural. Unnatural. Sexual desire. Behavior. An act. If it's a man that comes, she can sleep with him. If it's another woman, she can sleep with another woman. The things that I wrote down on sexual sin, I could use a week. If I'm teaching morning, afternoon, night to teach it. When I was researching it, I listed at least 21 sexual perversion. You know where sin stops? That's where perversion starts from. 21. At least 21. Yes? There's no time to be holy as this time that we're living in.
It's terrible that you boast about your spirituality.
Yes?
And yet you let this sort of thing go on.
Hmm.
Don't you realize that if even one person is allowed to go on sinning,
if even just one person is allowed to go on sinning,
soon, all will be affected.
All affected. Do you get the idea now? And that's why it's dangerous. It's dangerous. And what is painful is that those who lead choir groups are not spiritually mature enough even in knowing how to handle these things. If they eventually hear, first of all, it may be that they are afraid to confront the person, let alone discipline. As usual, they'll just do what? Sweep it under the carpet. And maybe sew a new choir robe. Brethren, we are having our praise first. And yet, there are issues. You know, issues that have become maggoty. I miss them. If even just only one person is allowed to keep on sinning, very soon, everyone else will be affected. Why is it so? Why is it so rampant in its spread? Because we are all sexual beings. Why? Are we not all? Or maybe no, some of us, we are sexless. Or we have no feeling. Even Enoch. But their own is worse. I mean Enoch. Yeah, it's worse because that doesn't mean they can't desire. And it still comes to the same thing. Even if you can't do anything. You know, when I was on campus, I used to really pity those guys. You know what it's like when you eat your today? I slept with one chief, then when you want to marry, find out that he's actually the father of who you want to marry. Not marriage ended. Or he's the uncle. Very messed up stuff. And so because we're all sexual beings, that's the more reason why we have to protect our sexuality and keep it within the context and confines of marriage. Marriage, like this, where the assault of sex. So, you know, if Apostle Paul came into our world, he will run back to heaven. I'm telling you, he will run back, not anything. So those holy fathers are, but where? But try. We know it's not easy. Well, there's no how you will walk or just walk on the street and your righteous soul, if your soul is righteous, will not be provoked. There's no how. Now, as even Lulu are girls with desire. Did you understand that? You can't even say, okay, let me put my daughter in your house. I'm coming from where? If I don't trust you in my life, I can't do it. If I don't know that you are, you know, if I don't trust your spiritual life, and I'm not saying the way you pray, no. I don't judge from where you're shaking your head. You can't even keep your son with an uncle. Eh? You think most of the time when we hold these meetings, we want to come with our children? No. But that's someone I can trust. And if the person has traveled, I'll come with my children. We have reached that age where pedophiles are everywhere. In South Africa, you know, after they have defied themselves, especially those black South Africans, then they look for a young virgin girl because in their minds they believe that that will heal them. Live in a dangerous world, and you need to know. We live in an age where you are breathing the far as Bobrisky is breathing. Is that one a human being? So, if you don't know that this place is so polluted, you won't know how to keep yourself from that pollution. You would have been, you know, enmeshed in it. First Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 to 2. I'm talking about no other type of sin is so rampant in its spread. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 to 2. Now, concerning the things that you wrote unto me,
it is good for a man not to touch a woman.
It is good for a man,
nevertheless
to avoid fornication.
Let every man have
his own wife.
And let every woman have her own
husband. Let every woman have her own husband. Thank you. I want to read from the Message, 2 Corinthians 6. Because I've been talking about dangerous sexes and all of that, and sexualities and all, and I've not really shown you why it is so. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm reading from the Message translation. Sorry? No. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Is this second or first? Is it first? Okay. Chapter 6, Abi. I know it's the same 6:6. Okay. I'm sorry. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. In the King James, I think it says, he that has joined himself to an harlot becomes one in spirit with him. Abi? But this is how the Message Bible puts it. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery, classical fact, as it is written in Scripture, the two becomes one. Verse 17. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of that avoids commitment and intimacy, living alone and ever, the kind of sex that can never become one. Amen. Once you become involved with a person sexually, whatever controls that person controls you. Amen. Sex is one of the means through which God wants to make a man and his wife one. Do you understand? When a man gets involved with a woman gets involved with so many men, or they go beyond what is unlawful and enter into what is unnatural, and women start to burn with desire after women, or men after men, but those ones, their cases are worse. You know that there are diseases that are strictly for sex. In medical terms, that is called men sleeping with men. New diseases that have, I don't know their names. We used to think that HIV is the highest. No, HIV is one small boy, like a primary school boy. And there's no group with so much diseases like those homosexual people. Because the first thing they throw out of the window is fidelity. Is it not so? Eh? They can't be faithful to one person. It's not possible. Neither is there any happy lesbian. What did I say? The person doesn't exist. It's one tragedy or the other. Maybe a heartbreak or the other that leads them into all those things. I've researched it, I know. They call themselves gay. Gay means happy, you are not worried about anything. There's no group as depressed as them either. There is no other sin so contagious in infection. 1 Corinthians 10 verse and verse 8. There is no other sin so contagious in infection. I want to stop soon so that we can ask questions, okay? 1 Corinthians 10 verse 8, very quickly. Neither let us commit fornication.
As some of them committed.
As some of them did.
And fell in one day.
And the number died in just a day.
320,000.
Was. 23,000. Okay, thank you. That's old King James. I was wondering. The mathematics just confused me suddenly. And then 23,000 men died one day. The story is in Numbers 25 from verse 1 to 9. Who has Good News Bible and is a fast reader? Why is it that sexual sin corrupts and infects many people at the same time? E.g., let's say now, for instance, you're watching a movie. And two people, they call it making out. Have you? Two people are committing sin. Now, I've always told you, they find new names for old sins. You know? Two people are having sex and sleeping with themselves. Somebody else is recording it. Somebody is uploading it. Thousands are downloading it. Do you understand it now? That's how it spreads. Rome did not commit as much sin. I mean, Roman Empire. They were doing all these same things, so that America has modernized. Do you know 65% of pornography in the whole world is from America? It's exported from there. 65%. So even when you didn't plan to watch pornography, something can just pop up on your screen. And before you say, no, you may say, all these wicked people, what is this that they are doing? You are infected. Hold on here. There's no anything. Who is that? Are you there? Numbers 25. Verse 1 to 9. Very quickly, because I want us to close soon. I want us to close in this. I want Good News Bible.
Good when news the Bible. Israelites were camped at Asia.
Yes.
The men began to have sexual intercourse with the Moabite women who were there. These women invited them to sacrificial feast where the god of Moab was worshipped. The Israelites ate the food and worshipped the god, Baal of Peor. So the Lord was angry with them and said to Moses, take all the leaders of Israel and in obedience to me, execute them in broad daylight and then I will no longer be angry with the people.
Go on.
Moses, each of you is to kill every man in your tribe who has become a worshipper of Baal of Peor. One of the Israelites took a Midianite woman into his tent in the sight of Moses and the whole community while they were mourning at the entrance of the tent of the Lord's presence. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar and grandson of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he got up and left the assembly. He took a spear, followed the man and the woman into the tent and drove the spear through both of them. In this was the epidemic that was destroying Israel was stopped.
If he drove the spear, because one translation said he speared the man, came out from belly and speared the woman. What were they doing? How can you with one single thrust kill two people? It's only if they are together. While the church, the whole community and congregation is mourning outside. Do you know one of the issues I have with the modern day ministers? How they are weak at confronting sin. How they don't stand for the honor of God when members of their churches are falling into sin. This one is no longer a secret sin. What that man did. Brazenly and openly. He's living like that. He's still entering the church. He's still holding them. You know, I used to wonder, how did those ordained homosexuals get to that point? Because they're too weak to stand for the truth and confront the truth. I can't be a member. I can't be a brother with anybody who lives in sin. It's this same passage that we're reading in 1 Corinthians 5. We will get there. Whoever calls himself a brother and is a fornicator, you have no business with that kind of person. I have a very, very special resentment for adulterous men. The moment I know you are messing around, whatever respect I have for you, drop. Because you'll be a liar. You can't be an adulterer, cannot be a liar. You will take 10 women at the same time, or more than 2 women that love them. And that can't be true. But there may be some of your friends. I had a friend like that. We're from the same fellowship. When I knew he was found, I cut off from him. Don't touch him with a bar pole. Because you don't want to hear. There's no need me talking to you. We all grew up in the same fellowship. Lived in my father's house for many years. It was like that. Serially, we'll be moving around from women to women. The day I saw the girl that wanted to marry him, I pitied her. Because marriage won't stop him. Won't. If he has not dealt with the issues before he's married, it is actually aggravated after he's married. You only say, my wife is vanilla, or I want strawberry ice cream. You go and look for another woman that is strawberry. As if the base of all of them is not ice cream. Yes, go on. Quickly.
For it has already killed 24,000 people. The Lord said to Moses, what's the word finished?
Verse 9. Yes? Oh, it's that verse 9. Look at the number of people that died in one day. 23,000. Then, plus, it's not, plus the 1,000 leaders. That's what made it 24,000. Because loose women were around. And men thought they are taking advantage of them. There's no free sex. So. What did I say? Every sex outside of marriage is imprisonment sex. Free. Bondage. You understand? It's bondage sex. Once you involve that kind of thing, you are bound. And if they bound a person, can he free himself? If they lock a person inside and he has no key, can he? He can't. It is also so absolute in damning and ruining its victims. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, you see that. Know ye not that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. The first two that are mentioned are sexual sins. Neither fornicators nor adulterers. Then other sins now followed. Then none of them will make it. I want us to pray so that we can ask our questions. And then when we come back with it, because I'm not yet done, it's the entire chapter that I'm reading through. Choir that is unholy cannot serve the purpose of God. A song minister that is unholy and unclean, especially as far as sexual sins are concerned, it would be a contagion. What will it be? A contagion is like something that is a host to viruses and diseases. Everywhere it goes to, it just spreads it. I want you to pray and ask the Lord to purify you. Let him purify your thoughts, your motives, your desires, and make you a minister that can be worthy of ministering to him. If you are in a choir where such things exist, ask the Lord to help you to know what to do. Let the Lord purify you in the name of Jesus. Let the Lord purify me in the name of Jesus. It's important we pray about it because we are susceptible to the same sin. Because we are we are made sexual beings. So we could be our sexuality could be aroused. Lord, keep me. I want you to pray also. Keep me from sexual sin. Keep me in the name of Jesus. I cannot keep myself. I can only try. But you can protect me. You can keep me. You can shield me. I want you to be jealous over me. Help me to keep my body in sanctification and in honor. Lord, I want you to be jealous over me. Help me to keep my body in sanctification and in honor. If you lead a choir, ask the Lord to help you to purge that choir. And if you're a member of a choir, ask the Lord to purge your choir. So that you will not be laboring in vain. Bible says, purge out therefore the old living, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Purge me, Lord, and I'll be purged. Cleanse me, Lord, and I'll be clean. I want you to pray. Lord, there are people I must not meet. Protect me from them. People that are the object of my desire. People who are the joy to my flesh. And when I see them, all manner of things just begin to happen. When I relate to them, Lord, keep me from such people. I can't say I cannot be attracted, for there are people I'm attracted to, and it is God that made it like that. Lord, keep me. Bible says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless. At his name, with a shout of joy, let the Lord keep us from falling. Let the Lord shield us, let him protect us. Let him keep us standing, even in the name of Jesus. Let him uphold us. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We can ask our questions now, so that we can go on a short break before we conclude the meeting today. Questions? Yes.
My question is, while we were praying, you mentioned something about the purpose of God. And yesterday you said that true worship is achieved when the glory of God and His presence comes down. Sir, I want, physical evidences of the things that the glory and the presence of God achieves, so that we'll be able to understand the worth of this and how to guard it jealously, so that we will not just deal with this matter carelessly. And if the glory and the presence of God is not coming, then it's not a problem. As long as we are singing, our concert is holding, because some of these things are things that I have seen in maybe when I was in school, fellowship and concerts we hold, then everything will be hinted. Whereas members of the sick choir, they are different when it comes to work with God. So how do we deal with that?
Very good question. The very first thing when the glory of God comes down is that each person in the congregation will see God clearer for himself. They would not need assistance anymore. Do you understand? They will now strive to live a more godly life. And it's not the administration is good on. I'm talking about the effect of the administration. That's what it will be on them. Do you understand? That's the very, very first thing that you notice. The next thing is the environment itself, the atmosphere of the church, will become purified. It will be such a holy atmosphere that sin is no longer common. I don't know, do you understand? That it's no longer common, that people are living in sin, and there are scandals everywhere. The people will be revived. And the place will be a ground of revival at times. And it's not once in a long while. Then, those of you who are ministering to them will notice that you come more in consecration, in the knowledge of God, in service to God, and all of that, more and more. Those are some, because it's so many, but those are some that I can immediately point to.
Sir, in the choir where it's evident that hatred for sin is very low, then the way we impact sin, and how do, now we have this thing, how, what's our impulse?
Well, if you are the choir leader, and the approach is different from the choir leader, if you are not the choir leader, like I said yesterday, where you begin from is to pray. You know? But then, what are you praying for? You may be praying for the reconstitution of that choir. Imagine a situation where 90% of the people that are ministering in the choir are not even again. So now start saying, Lord, revive us. Revive what is dead. You understand? So it might be that the Lord needs to cancel that choir so that another one is reconstituted that has laws and all of that and have rules through which when people are coming in, you know, safety measures to make sure that a contaminant is not brought in. You understand? But if they are all born again, it's just that they are untaught. Then one may begin to pray that the Lord will open their eyes. But when you are having womanizers in the choir, you are having drunkards, you know that's not a choir. That's a singing troupe. you understand? And all what you are saying is, Lord, scatter this choir so that you can rebuild it according to your own pattern. That's what you do. If you are a member of a choir, if you are at the head of a choir, that 90% of your members are not born again, you need to approach leadership of the church and tell them they are not born again. And if the pastor is insisting they are born again, you need to resign from the choir. Since they are born again. Even when it's clear that they are not born again. Okay? Please just resign. Because may you not be a pastor of goats. You know, one day I saw a man crossing the road with three goats. It was a spectacle. He will pull them, they will. He will start to have the oncoming cars. And the Lord told me, that is what a pastor of goats look like. You know, a pastor should pastor sheep. I mean, does a shepherd keep goats? He keeps sheep. You know, so you can have a choir feed the goats, and there will be no manner of good things happening. Fight him. Some of the backups may be fighting the lead vocalist. So when the lead vocalist sings a song, they won't back up. They'll just be dancing. How manner of... Oh, they'll put their mouth on the microphone, but they're not singing anything. How can such people... How you achieve pure worship like that? You know? So all manner of different things, you know? When people are not saved, they are not. They can be very nasty if they are not saved. You know? So that's the answer to your question. Questions? Yes. The sister that is not Sister Jane. Good afternoon.
Sorry. I know everything has been being said now. Majorly towards.
Let's hold the microphone now, so I can hear.
Majorly towards what sexual sin. What I want to ask is sin.
Is sin okay? Sex, but not sexual sin.
Okay. That. Issue of growth.
Goats, okay.
You know when, as though I'm a spiritual. spiritual minister. For
but you should be a spiritual minister.
Yeah, in my own little way, I can't boast.
I'm just joking, don't mind.
Okay, I can't boast that.
So yeah, that you are there.
You know, I'm growing. I believe I'm growing. But when you go to a particular graduate and you can sense it, that
people see it.
There's strife, there's suspense, there's chances embedded. And, you know, you go for rehearsals and talking, everything is scattered. And in quote, the leadership, person heading, it's not so much seeing it, or maybe seeing it, feels there's a backlog. And I say that maybe a Wednesday service, you want to take prayer, and you or worship, and where you are coming from, there's a process. You understand? And, you know, they are wondering, what's up? Are you there now?
The ministers are ministers.
The one of the choirs is supposed to say, I don't worship praise. You know, the person is chatting, and you're just wondering, okay, let us lift up our holy hands. And, you know, that kind of thing. Let us lift up our holy hands. And we're not talking about you, we're talking about married people here with kids. So you're just, because I'm at the point where, but that's one of the reasons why
I
asked myself, I don't need it. What will be a party? You know, there's a level where I'm coming from. I don't want a situation where I'm being thrown down. But that's how
you will smash.
Eh?
You smash on the ground.
You know, and so I want to lift, let us lift up only hands. Only hands, bow.
I'm about to say low.
You know, so in that kind of, okay, I forget the gathering. What should I do? And there's an issue that you know that you are supposed to work. So you're working with God, it's personal. You're also supposed to work for God. And in individual working for God, what I believe in, if I'm going to minister to people, I also have to invest in myself, one, to minister to my children, to also shield myself spiritually from attack. So in this case, what does God? The locality where that church is the in quote so culture that okay, maybe I can go. The other one now, one Jesus also. So what do I do?
When you are in a place that is burning, what do you do? I didn't say with the fire of the Holy Ghost. When there's fire, you are in the midst of fire, what should you do? That may sound insensitive. You know? The sound. One day I told somebody, there's nobody in your church that is born again. The person is even in this meeting. So there's nobody there that's born again. I've been there before. They're not saved. So ideally, you shouldn't even be calling it a church. The church is actually the assembly of saved people. You understand? Why did I give you that proverb of if a place is burning? The first thing to do is not where's the fire extinguisher? Especially when you are not a firefighter. The first thing to do is to stay clear, okay? And be sure that you are free. What does that mean? My first most important duty as a Christian is to remain a Christian. First of all, now you see that thing of working for God. I know it's a very popular thing that is said, but I would have preferred working with God, or if it is for that you want to use, according to His purpose for my life. Do you understand? Churches tie people down by telling them to work for God. But if it is not according to God's purpose for your life, you would have wasted maybe 40 years if that's what you spent while you are working for God. And at the end of the day, when you appear before God, He will tell you that you have lived a useless life. Tell the Lord I was working for you. He will ask you who told you. Say, my pastor says working for God. Did I not die for you so that you can know me one on one? You understand? Many times sentiments makes us not to want to rock the boat. You understand? And for many of us not to even know that if you're not where you're supposed to be in the plan and purpose of God for your life, you can't live an effective life. That's the simple truth. You can't. Okay? Now, in such a place where there's so much profanity, because to profane is to be irreverent about holy and godly things. You understand? And when you're just about to minister now, and from 2 minutes now, you are still saying, half an hour. What do you do yourself? See your head. And that's why what you are saying, and 2 minutes later, you go and minister. That's kind of things. It doesn't show fear of God. It doesn't show a person who is progressing in his walk with God. Whether the leadership sees it or not, it's another thing entirely. Because the leadership is expected to see it if what they are laboring for is God. You understand? But people labor for all manner of things today. A calling is not a career. For many ministers, calling has become a career. Just want to have a lovely career and climb their career ladder, and that's all. So the very first thing is to save yourself and to ensure that you're still a Christian. Okay? And while you are doing that, you can then begin to ask him, Lord, what will you have me do? And don't be quick when they say, let God meet you where you are serving him. It's good talk. But where I'm serving him, is it what he asked me to do? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, that place that says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. In NLT first edition, can you please read it for me? What does it say? What does it say? Yes.
But I will reply.
Or read from 21.
Not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. On judgment day, many will tell me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Go away. The things you did were unauthorized.
The things you did were unauthorized. So the first time I saw it, that scripture in that translation, I told myself, it's not enough to do something. The issue is that what I'm doing, is it authorized by God or not? And if it's not authorized by God, men may be angry with me. They will catch up later. Amen? No, me, that's me. They will catch up and stop being angry later. And if they don't want to, see you in heaven. You can be angry with me for a lifetime. I have no problem. But if God is angry with me for a day, I will not end well. Not I may not end well. You understand? So, the person I want to serve is who? He's God now. I don't own my soul. You didn't die for my sin. Jesus owns me and he died for me. So, it's better for me that who will I be loyal to? Jesus. Because another thing I found out is that church people or Christians are so sentimental when it comes to living a place that is hurting them. So sentimental. Won't they say, they will look at me like, would they not say that? Can it not be like? If God tells me, stand up, what will I do? Go. I might have taken the steps before I tell you God says I should go. Because if I tell you that God says I should go, you may arrest me. But sometimes when God orders us like that, we don't obey immediately. We look at the tide. before we now jump in. And since I know the story of the old prophet and the young prophet, who was eaten by them? Who buried him? So, me. Once, you know, I left the church once as an assistant pastor. And why? Because the pastor that was the parish pastor was a useless man. On Sunday, during service, we say he's doing drama. I'm going to dig bullet. I'm a jay. You know, things that are not ethical, you'll be doing them. Because the one that preached and said that Michael will be receive favor and is called, receive favor. Those are the kind of preachings he preaches. So one of the days, the general overseer who is not domiciled in that branch, he came from abroad and was asking us that why is the church not growing? What is the problem of the church? And so I said that the problem of the church is Pastor Kunle, because that's the problem of the church. You know? But the pastor was not around when that was said. So he was running some errands. So later he called a larger meeting. Meanwhile, he has sworn us to secrecy in the name of Jesus. So now there's a larger meeting of elders, council, and the pastors of the church. So when we all sat down, they said, hey, what did the pastor say? You know, because church is so useful. We all kept quiet. Everybody was looking. Sir, pastors, I'm talking to you. Why are people quiet? I said, sir, show us to secrecy. Yeah, and use the name of Jesus. So if you lift it now, we will speak. So say, lift it in Jesus' name. Okay. I said, I was the one that spoke. And I said, the prayer of this church is Pastor Foley. So, of course, they are not used to people saying the truth. They are used to, you know, speaking in parables and dilly-dallying and playing high-wire politics that APC and PDP needs to learn from. And I'm not like that. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Any other one from this one is from the devil. That's what Jesus said. So they began by benching me. And they're doing the thing that they are doing. A time came and the Lord said, arise and depart. Arise ye and depart. For this is not your rest, and it will destroy with a sore destruction. So I arose, and I greeted them very well, and I said that our fellowship has come to an end. I need to move on to do the work God has sent me to do. I was holding a retreat when the general overseer called me. I was dilly-dallying, you know. Oh my God. And if you can know my plan for next year, it's time to see how you can do some things for the church. I told him, I've told you your problem is Pastor Kole. It's not anything. Hey, but what's your plan? I said, don't hold me to face my work. And that's what I'm facing. What are you saying again? So, you know, if I can think about it again, eventually we caught the call. The last I heard of them, the policeman came to arrest Pastor Kole for something the general overseer did and was paraded on the street with handcuffs. I don't mind being handcuffed by the police if it's for the cause of the gospel. But I will not be smeared and lose my integrity on something that is criminal. You understand, my sister? Church is not best. Do what God asks you to do and stay where God asks you to stay. If not, you will not even know when you have become like them. You are a liar like them. You are a hypocrite like them. You won't know. You will never know. I've been to places. All manner of places. Again, we're in the end times, and what you must secure first of all is your own soul. It's only when you are safe that you can save others. Do you understand? Don't in the bid to save other people become so insecure, and then you are lost with them. Okay? And that's why I'm saying that it's not, don't be sentimental, be spiritual. I remember the last church that I had to leave because God told me it's time to go. Because I don't run I don't run a denominational ministry, okay? So when I told my wife, the Lord says we should go, say, ah, hey, are you sure? I said, why don't you ask the Lord? I met you, a spiritual woman. When she went to pray, what God told her was more urgent than my own. was far more urgent than my own. So I said, we will leave all the ones of my own. We'll follow this your own. You know? Don't be sentimental. Working for God cannot be by my initiative. My life, your life, was redeemed. Abi? Was bought by, not by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the incorruptible and thing, which is the blood of Jesus. So ideally, who owns me? Jesus, Abi. So it's whatever pleases Jesus that I should do. Abi, who does your shoe please? Does your shoe please your neighbor? No, it doesn't belong to your neighbor. It pleases you because it belongs to you. So my loyalty shouldn't first of all be to men. And your loyalty shouldn't first of all be to men, not even to me. Do you understand? Let your loyalty be first of all to God. And then you won't have a problem. Me, anybody that's loyal to God, we can work together. Because me too, I'm God, though. I'm loyal. You know? We are constantly afraid, if I leave, what would they say? And we don't mind that our not living is affecting what God will have us do and what He will have us be. And if He asks you to stay, by all means stay. You understand? But anywhere that you are not being helped, anywhere you're not growing, anywhere where your ministry will not be received, might not be a good place for you to stay. Might not be. Except God orders you stay there. You understand? Maybe because He has worked for you there. So if He now asks you to stay there because He has worked for you there, then find somewhere else and make sure you are feeding well, spiritually. Do you understand? And you are growing very, very well, soundly. If not, before you know it, you're just exactly like them. All you'll be living for day in, day out is for blessing, breakthrough, promotion. Enemy die. No manner of funny things like that. You won't be able to live the Christian life. And that will not be for your good. That will not help you. Have I answered your question? Next question.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
0804833058 0781338536 0781499 1321
or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life